Cut the music. Cut the music.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh, oh.
Spectacular group of men. You go find them. You throw your arms around them. You give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone.
There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Like poison. Like rat poison. Are you going to listen to me, or are you going to listen to these guys?
And welcome back to the College Football Country Podcast. What's going on, everybody? My name is Josh Parcell. I am the founder of College Football Country, CFBCountry.com. It's been a while. How you guys doing? It's so good to be back. I am excited to fire this thing back up. We took the year off. Listen, I'm a busy guy. For those of you that don't know, I got a four-hour radio show in the middle of the afternoon. I do another one-hour show in the evening here in Charlotte, WFNZ. And then from time to time, I'm also on Sirius XM. So I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm not saying that to brag about all the 100 jobs that I have. What I am saying is sometimes you just have to have a little me time. And College Football Country had to take a break. But I am back, baby, and I am ready to bring you maybe the most exciting project of my life. I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say this might be the best couple of weeks as a college football fan that we can have, at least in these times. And let me start by saying this in all seriousness. If you guys are out there listening right now, I really hope you guys are staying safe. You're taking the proper precautions to protect yourself, your friends, your family, everybody around you. This coronavirus and COVID-19 panic is real in a lot of ways. And without getting into the science behind this and timelines and expectations on when we can return to a normal life, what I do know is it's important for everybody to take this seriously. And as long as we take it seriously and we are smart, I do believe that we will be okay. There may be bumps along the way. There will be adversity and challenges that maybe we don't expect. But if we can work together, if we can be safe, if we can be overly cautious, I do think that we will be all right. In the meantime, it's important for us to spend whatever time we can diverting our attention away from reality. We need that escape. Usually that escape comes in the form of sports. It comes with the NCAA tournament, the Masters, NASCAR, NBA, Major League Baseball. It's all gone. So where are the sports going to come from? ESPN is playing old basketball games. We've got NASCAR doing a iRacing series. I don't even know what it is exactly, but it sounds awesome. It's a video game, like virtual reality race that apparently is really popular. You've got several actual NASCAR drivers who are going to be racing in that. I think that's amazing. Adam Silver told ESPN on Wednesday night that they're looking at maybe playing a diversion charity game, which I think is a really cool idea, as long as they can, ensure the safety of the players. But, we'll find ways to be creative and find ways to distract us from what's happening in the real world. That's quite honestly what sports is all about most of the time. So with that being said, I am very excited for my idea, which is to host a 64-team, full-on March Madness college football tournament. I think it's going to be awesome, right? I was thinking to myself last week as the tournaments were shutting down and finally the NCAA canceled its tournament, and I thought, man, how can we try to just keep the spirit of March Madness alive? And I play a lot of NCAA football. I have the Xbox 360 fired up. It's 7 years old. I play it all the time. And I knew that it was possible to play with the new players. You could, hack the rosters and download the new players. And I just never did it. I tried to do it one way. It never worked. I was trying to use like a USB file, and it got real complicated, and it wasn't working for me. So I just play with the old players, and I do dynasties, and 5 years down the road, and all the old players are gone anyway, and I'm just taking Hawaii to the national championship for the fourth year in a row. That's basically how I played the game. But then I thought, man, is there a way that I can figure this out and get the new players on the game? Because doing a 64-team football tournament would be really, really fun. I don't know if anybody else would like it, but it's a way for me to stay busy, to keep myself occupied. And lo and behold, you go on YouTube. Every answer to everything is on YouTube, by the way. I go on YouTube. The very first thing, I search, get current rosters on NCAA 14. Very first video. It's like a minute and a half long. Shows me how to do it online. Boom. Hook my Ethernet cord up. 5 minutes later, I got the rosters. Like, it was amazing. It happened so quickly. And there they were. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Joe Burrow, Sam Howell, J.K. Dobbins, Travis Etienne, T. Higgins. I don't know why I'm naming all Clemson players. Everybody was on the game. There was everybody, fully perfect details down to the armbands and the face masks and the visor, the height, the weight, like everything. It was flawless. It was great. And I said, man, all right, now how do I use this power for good, right? We're all called to service in this country, right? We're all called to serve. We're all here to make one another's lives better. This is my way of trying to make your life better. It's taking virtual reality, digitally recreated college football players and putting them in a 64-team tournament and playing it out for the world to watch. It's going to be so cool. So I posted this on my Twitter page earlier this week, at Josh Parcell, and a lot of you guys loved it, which I thought was fun. I had no expectation, but it turns out a lot of you guys want to see this happen. So I'm going to run through what a 64-team tournament would look like, how I'm going to play this thing out, and if you guys want to follow along, I think that would be a ton of fun. We can bet on the games if you want. We can donate money to charity. I'm not going to do a full bracket pool. I just think it's going to be too complicated to try to run it. And I understand some people may have questions about the legitimacy of this. You just don't know the rosters. It's computer games. Is it truly accurate to real life? I mean, at the end of the day, look, it's not that serious. But I don't want to get in any sort of complicated conflict or controversy over a bracket pool, over a video game. So if you want to bet on the games, I'll put polls up on my Twitter page for games and we'll have some fun. But the idea of a full-on tournament like this is never going to happen in real life. Even though the playoffs should expand to 8, I've said that for a long time. It just makes more sense. 64 is never really going to happen. Maybe eventually we get to 16 just because things inevitably grow. I think there are 16 teams in America most seasons that are capable of beating one another. I mean, like, if you go back and look at Alabama in the years they won the national championship, four of those five national championships, they lost a game to a team ranked outside the top 10. And I think it's interesting when we think back and we look at, those national championship runs. Heck, even Clemson, the year they won the national championship, lost to Pittsburgh. Right, Pittsburgh was a 7-8 win team that season. So, you just look at teams that win national championships, and quite often they're capable of losing. Like, if you don't bring your A game, you might lose. And maybe they wouldn't lose in a playoff situation where the stakes were higher, and sometimes you take your eye off the ball as a heavy favorite in the middle of September. That maybe that doesn't happen in January. But I do think that most years there are 16 teams that are at least capable of beating one another in a winner-take-all one-game, format. So I think 8 teams makes the most sense, but 64 would be so fun. And here's a couple of the guidelines for this tournament that, again, we'll never be able to recreate, but is awesome in a video game. First things first, we're playing these games at neutral stadiums. And one of the things I loved about the old NCAA tournament when it was just college hoops, when it was college hoops, but before they went to these standardized courts, they all have the same exact court design, just they changed the color scheme from arena to arena, but they all look the same. I hated that manufactured, very homogenized product kind of took away a little bit of the fun and the flair and the spirit of the NCAA tournament for me. I mean, I still love the tournament, but that was part of what was great. Like, I remember Boise State's floor and the rainbow-type semicircle at the top of the key, right? That was, like, a really cool, identifiable thing. NC State used to have the tournament. Like, they were played on a lot of college campuses, which was awesome. Now they're all in these big 20,000-seat NBA arenas, and that's fine. I get it. You're getting more people into the stands. You're making more money. So be it. But for the purposes of this tournament, we're putting these teams on neutral fields at some of the most iconic stadiums in all of college football. And I think it's going to make for a really fun viewing experience. I've tested this game out, by the way. I've tested it out just to see what it looks like. Guys, the NCAA 14, it might be 6 years old. It looks so real. And when you watch these games, and I'm going to put these on my Twitter page, I'll stream some of the games, you're going to notice you feel like you're watching a real college football game. Like, if you look really closely, you can obviously tell it's a video game. But if you're just kind of from 20 feet away, you know, in the background trying to watch this game, you're going to think that you're watching a real game on ESPN. The graphics are the same. It's amazingly, amazingly realistic. And when you put these new cool stadiums, you know, you see a different field logos in the end zones at midfield. It's going to look really, really neat. And it's something you will never be able to recreate in real life. So real quickly, you're going to run down all of the different matchups here. And just a quick thought on how cool it will be to see these matchups, where we're going to play the games, and then I'll leave it up to you guys after that. I'll post on my Twitter page today. I'll live stream one of the first round games. Maybe every day I'll do one game. Many of these games I'll play, and I'm not going to live stream all of them. You're not going to watch Air Force and Iowa State, okay? I'm not going to subject you to that, but I'll stream some of the games that you want to see. So I'll put a poll up on my Twitter page a little bit later, and you guys can watch whichever game you guys choose. So we'll start here in the South region. I feel like I'm Greg Gumbel now on a Selection Sunday. But in the South region, playing at Baylor, at McLean Stadium, we have LSU and Southern Miss. So LSU, number one overall seed. I had to actually adjust the rosters a little bit. These rosters were made before the season last year. So Joe Burrow was an 85 overall, for example. That's changed. Joe Burrow is now a 99 overall. I had to make a couple edits. I've gone in. I used the last year's stats. I went cfbstats.com. I looked at all the big statistical leaders. I made sure that they were all represented and that anything had been adjusted. There were a few other guys that I had to change around as well. But I used that, and I also used the Draft Network, which thedraftnetwork.com, phenomenal site for big boards, mock drafts, all that stuff, just to make sure we were looking at the best NFL players, the guys who had the biggest numbers last year in college football. And I had to adjust a few players. Nothing crazy, but I did have to adjust some guys. Joe Burrow was one of them. So they're playing Southern Miss at Baylor. Pretty cool matchup there. You're getting two Southeastern teams going into play in the heart of Texas. They'll play the winner of North Carolina and Indiana. And this will be a fun matchup, right? Because Indiana was a team, they were a little bit feisty last season in the Big Ten, good offense, going up against North Carolina, who was Sam Howell, another guy who I had to bump up. He went from a 79 overall to 91. I mean, he was one of the 10 best quarterbacks in college football this past season, a record-breaking freshman year with Carolina. You're getting North Carolina in that game as an 8-9 seed. I think North Carolina should be the favorite in that one. I mean, North Carolina was playing so well at the end of the season, and with Sam Howell playing as well as he is, I think North Carolina, and I seeded these teams and ranked them based on their body of work. I did this like a real selection committee would. But North Carolina is one of those teams that was trending in the right direction, it felt like, by the end of the season. And even at 6-6 last year, they were inches away from a few more wins, also inches away from a few more losses. I mean, you think about the South Carolina game, they squeaked by. They snuck by against Miami. They lose to Wake Forest. They beat Duke by three. I mean, they were in so many one-possession games all year long. But I think North Carolina is a dangerous team. And, man, how fun would it be to see North Carolina LSU in the second round over there in Baylor at McLean Stadium? The 5-12 matchup is really exciting in the South. Texas and SMU? How about that? I mean, did the committee take storylines into effect or what? I mean, everyone says that the committee never thinks about making these juicy storylines happen, but I'll be honest with you guys, I'm the committee, and I made it happen. Texas and SMU is awesome. You're getting the once proud program with the Mustangs, the Pony Express from the 80s. Now they're just open air raid offense. Sonny Dykes down there at SMU taking on Texas. And how about this? SMU's quarterback, Shane Buechel, kicked to the curb at Texas, lost the starting job to Sam Ellinger, and now he has a chance to go in, avenge losing that job, go up against his former school, Texas, and beat him. This is one of those games that if this happened, this would be amazing. Texas SMU would be such a must-watch first-round game, getting the Longhorns and the Mustangs together. And that one's going to be at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium in Greenville at East Carolina. One of the best Group of Five stadiums in the country. I've been there for games. It's awesome. We're going to get Dowdy Ficklin packed for Texas and SMU. 4-13 matchup in the South, Michigan-Louisiana. Michigan, a team that was a little bit disappointing last season, but gets a bad rap sometimes for, I think, the bombastic nature of Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh can rub people the wrong way, and now people are almost – there's almost this perception that Michigan is failing. Still a top 15 team in my eyes, and they take on a Louisiana team out of the Sun Belt. So we'll keep an eye on that matchup for sure. That game also at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. So we're going in pods here, where these pods will play at the same stadium in the first two rounds. Moving on to the bottom half of the South region, Memphis and Temple. So this is the one chance I actually couldn't avoid a conference matchup. You're getting two teams from the American in here together, at East-West game. But Temple and Memphis, that'll be fun. Memphis is loaded offensively. Mike Norvell's club got to the Cotton Bowl this past season. So Memphis and Temple at Mountaineer Field in Morgantown. That's awesome. Memphis and Temple. You got Western Tennessee going up against Philadelphia, and they're meeting in the middle in West Virginia. That's going to be a cool one to watch for sure. And then in the 3-14 game, Utah and Utah State also traveling all the way east to play in West Virginia at Mountaineer Field. But the Utes versus the Aggies. Now, Utah is a team that was, in real life, a game away from the playoff, losing in the Pac-12 championship game. But with Huntley, the quarterback, with Zach Moss, a bruising running back, they've got a dominant defense. Could Jordan Love be that Cinderella? Could he be the Stephen Curry of a tournament like this, right? That superstar on a mid-major school lifting his team to some miraculous run. Utah State was hammered when they played LSU last season, but Jordan Love is one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football. Just doesn't have a lot of help around him. But how about that? Getting Utah and Utah State, the in-state rivalry, over in Morgantown in round one. And it's just another game. Like, this would be so awesome to see in a real tournament. Now, I'm talking myself into this now. We need a 64-team tournament. Like, just make it happen, because I want matchups like this. 7-10, Kentucky and TCU. Now, for Kentucky, this is going to be one I'm going to have to make a call here. Do I put Lynn Bowden Jr. at quarterback, or do I rock with their regular quarterback, Terry Wilson? Who do they go with, right? Because Lynn Bowden Jr. at the end of the season was the catalyst that turned Kentucky's season around. I mean, Kentucky was left for dead in the middle of the season, but Bowden comes in. They went four straight at the end of the year. They beat Virginia Tech in the bowl game in Charlotte, but I don't know. I wonder who I should put at quarterback there, because on the game, Bowden is a wide receiver. He does have quarterback skills, like his throwing accuracy and powers, like in the 80s. So, I mean, they knew he could play quarterback, but they didn't have him playing QB in the game. I might have to move him around, because let's face it, Kentucky's not a 7 seed if Bowden's not playing quarterback. TCU, the 10 seed there. 2-15 matchup, Penn State, Central Michigan. Penn State should roll, but they take on Jim McElwain's team. Those two matchups, by the way, Penn State, Central Michigan, Kentucky, TCU, Carter Finley Stadium in Raleigh. So NC State playing host in that one. That's the South region. Let's move down to the West region. Oklahoma, Western Michigan at Folsom Field. You get Jalen Hurts and the Sooners taking on Western Michigan. That should be a cakewalk for them. But they get to play it at Colorado. Love that stadium up there in Boulder. So beautiful scenery for the Sooners and the Broncos in that one. Washington State, Tennessee. Awesome 8-9 matchup. How about Mike Leach taking on the school that he's flirted with a handful of times, the job that he wanted, the Volunteers, but he gets to take on Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee in Boulder in that one. So you're going to get the air raid Washington State, and this would be really neat if you get Washington State to win. If they can beat Tennessee, then you get Leach versus Lincoln Riley, and the interconnections of that coaching family from Hal Mumme, Mike Leach, Bob Stoops, like everybody has kind of been in that same group right there, all stemming from Norman and all stemming from the Hal Mumme tree. Lincoln Riley, kind of an offshoot of that. So you get those two coaches together. The over-under for Washington State, Oklahoma would be like 95. I mean, that would be an absolute shootout. In a video game, it would be amazing. 5-12, this one's going to be at Boone Pickens Stadium in Stillwater, Oklahoma State Stadium. It's Baylor and Hawaii. Nick Rolovich was awesome last year at Hawaii. They win 10 games. He ends up taking the Washington State job. But you get to take on a Baylor team that's probably played above its head last season, right? I mean, listen, they had a couple close shaves. They ended up winning. They went 11-1. Matt Rhule, one of the best coaches in the country. But Baylor, when we talk video game, the talent isn't really there for Baylor. Like, Denzel Mims, a nice player. James Lynch, defensive lineman, is a nice player. But Baylor is a team that in a video game like this, I think Hawaii could keep this thing interesting. That's a 5-12 upset. 5-12 upsets are still a thing in college football, right? It's not just college hoops. So keep an eye on that one. Baylor-Hawaii, that one in Stillwater. The 4-13 game, Washington versus San Diego State. I like Washington in that one. Washington's a team I think will be more dangerous in a video game than they would be in real life. But, yeah, I mean, with Jacob Eason, one of the better quarterbacks on the game, I like Washington there. USC-Mississippi State. Cool matchup across the country. You get Joe Moorhead's team that was a bit of a disappointment. It was a huge disappointment, really, last season. But also USC was disappointing as well. Is USC better in the video game? Like, is the soap opera around the USC program, is it going to bleed into the video game? I don't think so. USC is a team, again, that will probably be better on a video game than they were in real life. But I see them as a 6 seed. I think USC can make a bit of a run here. Wisconsin and Pittsburgh. In a 3-14? How about that? The Paul Chryst Bowl. Wisconsin and Pittsburgh going at it. So you get Paul Chryst, who left Pittsburgh about 4 years ago, takes the Wisconsin job, has taken off in Madison. The Badgers are one of the 10 best programs, I think, in college football right now. Pittsburgh kind of floundering. Narduzzi's been okay. They've never really taken the next step at Pitt, but they get a chance to take on Wisconsin here. That feels like a slugfest to me. Two good defenses. Pittsburgh, they don't have a great running game, but Kenny Pickett, we'll see what they can do offensively if Pickett can do enough to win that game. Wisconsin, Jonathan Taylor, by the way, the number one running back in this game, is 98 overall. Keep that in mind. I like Wisconsin in that game, but that one could be a lower scoring kind of slugfest. Not what you usually see in a video game. By the way, that one is in El Paso for the Sun Bowl. USC, Mississippi State, Wisconsin, Pittsburgh, those games in El Paso. God, it's going to be so cool. Watching these games in down in the desert in western Texas. How cool is that? Bottom of the western or the west region, Oklahoma State and Virginia Tech. So here you go. You get a rematch of the Russell Athletic Bowl from 3 years ago. You get Spencer Sanders, the freshman for Oklahoma State. Chuba Hubbard, one of the best running backs in college football, taking on Virginia Tech, a team that was really up and down all season long. There was the loss to Duke where it felt like the bottom had fallen out for Justin Fuente. They string together a bunch of wins over the last 2 months of the season, come up short against Virginia in the ACC or in the ACC Coastal de facto championship game in Charlottesville. I think Oklahoma State's the better team here. Listen, Spencer Sanders, probably about as good as what you're going to get from Hendon Hooker in this one. I did have to make a change for Virginia Tech, too. They had Ryan Willis as an 88 overall, and Hendon Hooker as a 76 overall. That's changed. Hooker's around an 82, I think, now, and Willis I bumped down to around a 76. So Hendon Hooker will be the quarterback for Virginia Tech in that one. And then Alabama and Wyoming in the 2-15. Bama as a 2 seed. And this is where, you know, you have to think about the S-curve and how you match up these 1 seeds and 2 seeds in the top couple of lines. Oklahoma was the 4th 1 seed, so they get Bama. And Tua, he's healthy in this one. So Alabama, a frightening 2 seed, taking on Wyoming. And those games in the West region in Hawaii, Aloha Stadium. Yeah, man. So we're putting Oklahoma State and Virginia Tech, and we're sending Nick Saban out to Aloha Stadium. We're putting Saban in the Hawaiian shirt. We're putting the lei around his neck. Nick Saban's skin is going to turn to leather by the end of the game in the 90-degree heat out in Hawaii. This is going to be it's in his element. Like, if Nick Saban ever – if he really wanted to leave Bama, I know they've talked about the Giants and the Patriots and the NFL, like the Browns a couple years ago, like, oh, he could leave and go back to the pros. Shoot, if I'm Nick Saban, go to Hawaii. Go pull a June Jones. Spend the last 8 years of your life. You still want to coach football, but you want to feel like you're on vacation at the same time? Maybe Nick Saban's going to be scoping out new real estate when he's out at Aloha Stadium. There you go. Alabama, Wyoming. Alabama, assuming they win that, they'll take on the winner of Oklahoma State, Virginia Tech. Going to the East region, we've got Clemson, BYU. Clemson with Trevor Lawrence, they should cruise in that one. That game's at Byrd Stadium at Maryland. Navy, Michigan State, that's an 8-9 game. Interesting matchup there. Michigan State offensively really struggles. I think Navy actually should win that one. We'll see how the triple option plays in a video game. Like, is it better? Is it worse? I don't know. I don't know if the computer is going to run the option there. That'd be the one tricky part. But Navy, de facto home game, right? Does that matter? It would in a real game, maybe. But Navy playing in College Park, Maryland against Michigan State. I actually think Navy and Malcolm Perry wins that game. Let's go 5-12 here. Texas A&M and FAU. Lane Kiffin versus Jimbo Fisher. Oh, the press conference is going to be electric for that, and we'll see if Lane Kiffin's team can pull off the upset. Another 5-12 game where I would not be shocked if the 12 seed made a run. FAU won Conference USA last season. That Lane Kiffin was really, really talented. That team was really, really talented. Texas A&M felt like they were if they were in a different conference, probably would have finished in the top 15, top 20. It's a really good team that just plays in a brutal division. But we get A&M FAU at Georgia Tech, Bobby Dodd Stadium. Really cool site for that game there. Iowa, Louisiana Tech is the 4-13. Moving down to the bottom half, Central Florida and Wake Forest. UCF and Wake, this is a dangerous one. How about Wake as an 11 seed? They would have been higher. They would have been closer to an 8 seed if it weren't for some injuries at the end of the year. They lost a couple games at the end of the season that were mostly in part due to injuries to their receivers. Sage Surratt and Scotty Washington went down. They're healthy in the game. I think Wake Forest is a dangerous one right here. So UCF and Wake, that game at Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia. So we're going to see the home of the Gamecocks for UCF and Wake. 3 versus 14, Florida versus Illinois. The Ron Zook Bowl is in effect here. We get Florida and Dan Mullen taking on Lovie Smith. Illinois was, listen, they knocked off Wisconsin last year. They knocked off Michigan State, and they pulled off some upsets. Could Illinois do it again against the Gators? You get Florida playing a, I wouldn't say a de facto home game, but down in the Southeast. So regionally, it favors Florida, if that matters. I'm talking about this like it's real life. I get so sucked into this. But Florida and Illinois in that game, I think the Gators would win. But Florida-Wake Forest would be a fun second-round matchup. Or if UCF wins, Florida versus Central Florida. I mean, the Knights and the Gators have been this drama over should they go up and should UCF be playing against the big boys? Here you go. Here's your chance. Knock off Wake Forest. We could see UCF play Florida in round two. Boise State and Cal, that game's going to be in the Carrier Dome. So we're taking two West Coast teams, throwing them in the East region, and they're going into Syracuse. The Carrier Dome, an indoor game for Boise State and Cal. Boise State, their freshman quarterback, Hank Bachmeier, he was injured at points last season, but he'll play in this one, of course. And Cal, great defense. You get a great offense of Brian Harsin versus a great defense of Justin Wilcox. Fun one to watch for sure. Georgia and Buffalo, the 215. I like, of course, Georgia to win that one. Georgia could be a dangerous team here with a couple great running backs. Brian Harrion is the second guy. DeAndre Swift, I probably should name him first as that starting running back. So Georgia is going to be a tough team to beat in a tournament like this. I think they could be really, really good. But how about that? Georgia and Buffalo in the Carrier Domes. We get to see the dogs up there in a dome. You don't get to see that. That's what you get with this My Dream NCAA football tournament. Going down to the bottom region here, and we're almost done. Ohio State and Marshall, that game going to be at Ferret Field in Missouri. Iconic stadium for Missouri Tigers. So we get Ohio State and Marshall in that one. Ohio State should cruise. This is a 116. I'm not worried about Marshall challenging the Buckeyes in this one. Justin Fields, Chase Young. Chase Young was like an 88 overall, by the way. That's changed. He is now upgraded to a 99. We have fully armored Chase Young. He's getting the full upgrade. He's the best player in the game. It was ridiculous that he was down at 88. Jeffrey Okuda was like an 84. He's like a 95 now. Ohio State actually got, I think, the most upgrades of any team. Like, it was crazy how many of their guys. Justin Fields was like an 81. He's now like a 94. Like, it was hilarious to see how bad some of the players were on Ohio State. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. So they're one seed. 8-9, Cincinnati, Kansas State. Could we get Luke Fickell versus the Buckeyes in round two? That would be a lot of fun. So we could potentially set up Luke Fickell versus his old team in that second round, or Kansas State. Maybe they'll have something to say about it. The 5-12 game, Minnesota and Louisville. That game's going to be at Lavelle Edwards Stadium in Provo. Another great stadium. The mountain range in the background in Utah. That'll be fun. Another 5-12 game could be an upset. Louisville, really talented. They're playing well. They've got a lot of weapons on offense. Tutu Atwell, Javian Hawkins, Mikael Cunningham, the quarterback. Minnesota's good, but I think Louisville could pull that one off. 4-13, Notre Dame, Tulane. I like Notre Dame in that one. 6-11, UVA and Arizona State. Now, this is actually interesting because Bryce Perkins, formerly of Arizona State, Bryce Perkins, the UVA quarterback, was a transfer and originally played for the Sun Devils. So you're getting a rematch. I actually didn't think about this one. Promise, did not think about this one. But now that it occurred to me in the moment, you're getting a revenge game there as well. So UVA, Arizona State, 3-14, Auburn and UAB. How about that? If Bill Clark beats Gus Malzahn, does he take his job?
Like, that is a really fun one, and Auburn just feels like a team. Auburn feels like the kind of team who gets upset a lot, like Kansas. Like, Kansas is, like, some years Kansas wins a national, or gets to the Final Four, makes these deep runs, but then they also, they fall for these crazy upsets, it feels like. They get knocked out in the first or second round too many times. That's Auburn to me. Like, if Auburn played in this every year, they'd either get to the Final Four, or they'd go out in the first weekend constantly. Those games are at Kinnick Stadium, by the way, in Iowa. UVA, Arizona State, Auburn, UAB, those games in Iowa. Iowa State, Air Force, that game at Nippert Stadium in Cincinnati. Iowa State's a good team. Brock Purdy at quarterback. I think that's going to be fun to watch. And the last game, Oregon, Missouri. The Ducks and the Tigers at Nippert Stadium in Cincinnati. Missouri all the way down as a 15 seed. I snuck them in there. I was trying to find another small group team to get in, group of five team to get in. Couldn't make it happen, but Oregon and Justin Herbert there, they get the last spot. They'll be down there in the bottom right-hand corner of this bracket. Midwest, 2 versus 15, Oregon and Missouri. So that's the first round. I'll come back. I'm going to play these games out over the next few days. Hope you guys are following along. I'll do some live streams. If there's crunch time, like upset alerts, I'll be throwing it on live. I'll have highlights of these games. I'm not going to make you sit through and watch all of these, but I'll put up a poll today on what game should I live stream first. I'll pick one big-time first-round game, and I will stream the whole thing. Just so you guys can see what it's all about, so you can watch the game. I'll do play-by-play. We'll have some fun. We'll get weird. We'll get crazy. Maybe we'll take some bets on it as well. I don't know. We'll try to make this thing fun. So, again, hope you guys are staying safe out there. Hope you guys are doing everything you can to take the proper precautions during this very uncertain time, but hopefully this provides you with a little bit of a distraction, diversion from your day-to-day life when you have the chance. This is going to be a lot of fun. For college football fans, we're going to love it. Man, if this happened in real life, how amazing would it be to get a 64-team tournament, to get LSU and Southern Miss playing at Baylor, to get Baylor and Hawaii playing in Stillwater, Georgia playing in the Carrier Dome. The matchups are going to be insane. We've got games in the second and third rounds, Beaver Stadium, Doak Campbell Stadium, Camp Randall, the Big House, the Horseshoe, Kyle Field, the Swamp, Outson Stadium. The national championship game will be at the Rose Bowl. That's what it's all about. I'm Josh Barcell. See you guys later.